taking new members. The club now meets at Pam's Farmhouse in Raleigh. The Toot and Tell closed in 2021. Former North Carolina Governor Kerr Scott is one of them who founded the Chitlin Club nearly 75 years ago. Thanks for joining us here at 5:30. The news at 6 starts now.
Right now at 6, a violent road rage shooting caught on camera. The suspect and the car police are looking for.
An NC State graduate brings us along on his harrowing journey to search for family missing after the earthquakes in Turkey.
Two of my cousins are still under the rubble.
What conditions are like there right now?
A Perry family wakes up to find their car stolen out of their driveway. Then they realize they have one of these hidden inside.
And immediately we were able to see the location of the car.
How this $29 device helped police track down the thieves.
Winter temperatures could reach near record highs before our next chance for rain.
Right now at 6, the world is reacting to this devastation in the Middle East. An emergency meeting is going on in Kerry in an urgent attempt to get more help to Turkey, where more than 3,400 people have died and thousands more are injured following the powerful earthquake. Thanks for joining us. I'm Gerald Owens.
And I'm Deborah Morgan. That 7.8 earthquake hit Turkey and Syria early this morning, right in this area. Among the missing, the family of an NC State graduate who is bringing us along on his journey to find them. WREL's Sarah Kruger joins us now live from the headquarters of the American Turkish Association of North Carolina after speaking with him. Sarah.
Deborah, it was pretty incredible that I was able to do a video call with him as he was heading from Istanbul to that disaster zone. He is so grateful for the help that is already underway, including from the people here at this emergency meeting.
With Zoom and his cell phone, Kamal Akolu is able to bring us along on his harrowing journey home.
Here is 50 people. Just voluntarily are going there.
Akolu is an NC State graduate, now a professor living in Istanbul, Turkey. That's a long way from the Syrian border where the earthquakes were.
It is probably more than 10 hours of driving, and there is a snowstorm outside, unfortunately.
He felt called to go to sort through the rubble of his hometown. He says many are missing, including two of his cousins.
Two of my cousins are still under the rubble. Several cousins were rescued, but they are injured. Our building is collapsed. I mean, my home, the home I was grown, the whole street actually is just... It's just not available anymore.
He says his local hospital collapsed too, and the airport. This grueling bus ride is now the only way.
I cannot focus on my personal feelings. I heard too many devastating news.
As he looks around the bus of 50 volunteers.
I am from there, but most of those people are not even from there. And they don't have to go, but they want to help.
That is his glimmer of hope.
And so is this. The Turkish community here in the Triangle started an online fundraising campaign. It has already raised more than $200,000 in just one day. And at this meeting here tonight, they will continue to talk about ways to help.
What an interview you had with that professor, Sarah. What does he hope to do once he gets to the location after that 10-hour bus ride?
He plans to actually go out and sift through the rubble, whatever it takes. But his mission number one is trying to find his cousins. Pretty unbelievable to imagine that that is what he will be doing, but that's what he was called to do. He told me he will keep me updated on the progress.
Well, we wish him well. Sarah Kruger, reporting live in Kerry. Thank you, Sarah. The heartbreaking stories and images have thousands of people wanting to help with recovery efforts. WREL has information on how to help reputable organizations in the aftermath of the earthquake. Visit WREL.com for information.
New graphic video into our newsroom shows what the Durham County Sheriff's Office is calling a road rage shooting. Take a look at this video. You see two cars pulling into the gas station near the intersection of Highway 70 and Pleasant Drive. The first one you saw was a blue Mustang, followed by the white Audi right there. Now, this camera angle catches a brief interaction between the people in those vehicles after they got out. Now, you see the shots fired right there as the blue Mustang pulls away. No one was hurt, but the car was damaged. Investigators are trying to identify the driver of the white Audi. No injuries at the Walmart in Wilson after a shooting the police say stemmed from an argument. This is video from Sky 5 of the building. Officers were called there on Forest Hills Road around 1:45. We're told the scene had cleared by the time they got there. They tell us the argument was between two groups. No word of any charges or whether there are any arrests in this case.
A threat leads to heightened security at a Franklin County school today. Wake Preparatory Academy notified parents of a student talking about bringing a weapon to school. The student is described as a lower elementary student. As a result, deputies with the Franklin County Sheriff's Office were on campus today. Today's incident is the latest in a growing list of recent threats at multiple local schools. We wanted to learn more about the total number of threats in our area. Wake County Schools tells WREL they do not keep a list. The state requires school systems to keep records of 16 serious crimes, but there is no requirement to keep a tally of threats or lockdowns. Coming up on our news at 7 o'clock, WREL's Joe Fisher shares more about the law on the books to hold students accountable.
This doorbell camera video shows would-be thieves testing door locks in Cary. Now, it's a grainy and it's hard to see, but it reminds us why it's so important to lock your cars. Shortly after this happened, they stole a car from a family's driveway. Little did they know, they were about to drive away in a car with a tiny tracker inside that would help police catch up with them in just a few hours. WREL's Matt Tallhelm is live outside the Cary Police Department to show us how this worked. Matt?
Gerald, Cary Police here worked with Durham Police on this. It only took them about 2 hours to track down that stolen car, thanks to a device like this that's barely bigger than the size of a quarter.
From his iPhone.
So I just went to Find My. I opened that up, and then you can see everything we got listed.
Antar Muhammad can locate a list of his family's belongings that they've tucked Apple AirTags inside.
As soon as we get a new vehicle or a new item, a backpack, a purse, or luggage, you know, I open one up and I put one in just for safety measures.
The tiny tracker got put to good use Saturday when Antar woke up and peered through the bedroom blinds to discover his wife's car was gone.
You feel violated knowing that something that you own, someone has taken.
A doorbell camera captured video of the thieves. One tries to open the door of a neighbor's car, then walks away. But look across the street. This is the Muhammad's Toyota Camry. You can see someone walking around it.
They picked the wrong vehicle. They just didn't realize it.
The couple called Cary Police, and from their kitchen.
We were standing here, right here at this spot with the police officers and showing them where it was.
Tracked the AirTag hidden in the stolen car to a neighborhood 12 miles away in Durham. Durham police tell us when officers got there, the thieves sped off in the Muhammad's car, nearly hitting a police cruiser. They didn't get very far before crashing the stolen car here on MLK Junior Parkway.
Thank God, you know, we were safe. Nothing valuable was in there. And, you know, we had that AirTag, so we were able to open and close that case in rapid speed.
Now the AirTag tracks their totaled car to a new location where it was towed.
You can see it pinpoints almost the exact address at a junkyard.
But the Muhammad's hope other families use their experience as a lesson to stay ahead of the bad guys.
We kind of just wait for bad things to happen, but I think being proactive is the way to go.
Now, of course, WREL has reported before on some of the privacy concerns with these AirTags, including how they have been used before in stalking cases, as well as tracking someone without their knowledge on that. But the Muhammad say for $29, this really saved them a lot in this situation. It paid off for them. Durham police tell us that three juveniles were taken into custody after that crash. They also recovered three guns from that car and from those juveniles.
I'm surprised at how positive the couple was after, first of all, having their car stolen, then having it wrecked, and now getting it back. But anyway, yeah. It's good to see that they protected their belongings. That's a lesson for us all. Thank you, Matt.
Absolutely.
You're looking live over Washington, D.C., where tomorrow President Biden will deliver the State of the Union address. The annual speech comes as the nation and Congress are divided on what the priorities should be for the next 2 years. You can watch the president's State of the Union address tomorrow night at 9 here on WREL.
Today, thousands of people tuned in for an update on the state's efforts to bring more skilled workers to North Carolina. Today, Governor Roy Cooper, State Senate Leader Phil Berger, and Speaker of the House Tim Moore joined a nonprofit group called My Future NC. The goal here is to have 2 million degrees or industry-valued credentials by 2030. However, right now, that figure is at 1.55 million.
While this work is state-led, we know that the work has to happen at the grassroots level. It has to be locally owned, it has to be locally driven, and so we equip our local leaders with county-level data and recommended local goals.
Other action plans discussed today included monitoring or reporting data on a state and local level.
Coming up in 3 minutes, a shift in the job market.
Long waits, closed stores, late buses. We're feeling the worker shortage every single day.
It's like a kind of a head scratch for most small business owners.
Coming up, Five on Your Side looks at the factors contributing to this worker shortage.
After a chilly weekend, we warmed up today into the mid-60s, and it's a warming pattern that's taking off for the rest of the week, or taking over, I should say. We'll talk about how warm it will be and when rain returns to the forecast. It's coming up.
Back now on WRAL News. You're looking live at Clinton through the WRAL Live Cam Network. You're watching WRAL News, available on YouTube TV, Spectrum, and the WRAL app on your TV or streaming device. You know this from going through your daily life. We have a serious worker shortage, and these signs, workers needed, are everywhere. In North Carolina, even if every unemployed worker was connected with an available job, there would still be nearly 160,000 open positions and no one to fill them.
A year ago, when COVID was still keeping many people at home, Five on Your Side looked into this issue. Now, Keely Arthur is speaking to business owners and experts to find out, where are the workers now?
We know you feel the worker shortage, and so do businesses.
Zachary, here to go.
The owner of the newly opened barbecue lab in North Hills says the constant shifting with staff he has to do is like being an NFL quarterback.
I step up to the line, I look at the defense, and I call the audible. We have workers who still get sick. We have workers who have family matters that come up, infants sick or a family member sick who had to leave.
The question remains, why? Why has this worker shortage been going on for so long?
It's like a kind of a head scratch for most small business owners as to why there aren't these employee assets out there.
When Jerry Stevenson opened the barbecue lab 4 months ago, he says he was blindsided by how hard it was to hire.
We couldn't find anybody to train. So while I'm building this out and completing this restaurant, I'm realizing I've got nobody to run this restaurant.
That's meant only being open 5 days a week, not a schedule he expected, but one that's now etched on the front window. It also meant Stevenson has been wearing a lot of hats.
I am the CEO. I'm also the janitor. I'm the dishwasher, the electrician, the plumber, the builder, and also the accountant for this firm.
It's not just restaurants. We found this Dollar Tree in North Raleigh closed when it should have been open because they didn't have enough workers. A Raleigh daycare asked parents 3 times in January to keep kids home because of staffing issues, and school buses are late. Plus, the nursing shortage is getting worse. So what's driving all this?
I don't think it's a straightforward answer.
Patrick Flynn, an assistant professor of human resources at NC State, says a lot of restaurant, retail, and other in-person blue-collar workers affected by shutdowns moved on.
That a lot of those employees found ways that they could redeploy those skills in other roles.
Perhaps for higher wages. When we asked this question a year ago, experts pointed to an aging workforce.
Not enough babies to fill their place, not enough new immigrants to fill their place, and younger people going to school rather than entering the labor market.
And a record number of North Carolinians starting new businesses. Those trends have continued. Plus,
child care is extremely expensive.
3.5 million mothers left their job at the start of the pandemic, and a lot of them have not come back, leading to the lowest rates of women in the workforce since the 1970s. Finally,
burnout. It's everywhere right now.
After 3 years of all the extra stress the pandemic created, people are just exhausted.
Is work something that I do, or is work who I am? And for some people, I think the onset of the pandemic set off a recalibration to the answer to that question.
And it's not just women causing this issue, it's men too. The New York Times reported that men in prime working age, 30s and 40s, quit during the pandemic and haven't returned to work, mostly men without college degrees. Keely Arthur, Five on Your Side.
Jobs are just part of the reason so many people are seeing delays when they're building new homes.
I am kind of homeless right now. Yeah, it's quite stressful.
Tomorrow at 5:45, Five on Your Side shows you the difficult position some new home buyers are in because of the shortage of workers and building materials.
One area where there is no shortage of workers, the WRAL Weather Center, and it is a nice day to be in the Weather Center, Mike. We have 60s in February.
Yeah, it's nice talking about some calm, comfortable weather. Over the weekend, it was rather chilly, but as expected, we warmed up today. Last Friday, when we left, you, Kat and I, were suggesting maybe 61 for the high. We did much better than that, 64. Our normal high is about 54. Now, there are signs the atmosphere should at least hit 64 tomorrow, maybe 65. We have a southwest wind tomorrow, 5 to 10 miles per hour. It's more breezy on Wednesday, 69. 72 on Thursday, 66 on Friday, then we cool down on Saturday. So you have four more opportunities to get outside and enjoy this weather. Our normal high is about 54. Now, unfortunately, the 66 on Friday is going to come with a good chance for rain. We'll talk more about that momentarily. So let's talk about the near record warmth by Thursday. We're forecasting 72 here in the triangle. The record high is 74 set back in 1994. So we could come close to a record. If we have enough sunshine, we could get to 74 for the high. 73 is what we're forecasting for Fayetteville, the record high 75 set back in 1937. So, yeah, we could come close. So we are tracking a system now that's over the Pacific Ocean that will make its way here by the end of the work week, increasing the chances for rain. Now, it's looking like a possible washout for Friday night. Could see rain at the start of the day on Saturday. Some of the rainfall could be heavy, could be a few thunderstorms. At this point, we're not expecting a severe weather event and not expecting a whole lot of storms. Now, if that changes, we'll let you know as the week goes on. But some of the models suggest there could be upwards to an inch, maybe an inch and a half of rain in some locations. So again, this could be a soaking. I know a lot of folks say, oh, we don't need any more rain. We've had quite a bit, but it looks like as of right now, a soaking's on tap for Friday and especially Friday night. Beautiful sunset over North Hills right now. The sun set at 5:46. Tomorrow it's 5:47. We're getting closer to a 6 p.m. sunset time. 58 right now in Raleigh, 59 Fayetteville, 46 in Roxboro. And with the dew points being as low as they are, will likely in many locations fall to or below freezing. Heading out for a dog walk this evening, we're 58 now, 53 by 7. By 8 o'clock, 49. So a jacket will suffice, not a heavy one. And hopefully your dog will be ready to go for a walk like that guy was. So a little cooler tonight, 33 in Raleigh, 29 at Roxboro, 34 Fayetteville. Watch out for some frost in the morning. You might have to scrape the windshield, so give yourself a little extra time. And more gorgeous sunshine for tomorrow. We're anticipating 65. It will be a breezy day with by lunchtime 56. And tomorrow evening we should be down in the 50s, so not quite as cool as this evening. And our highs tomorrow close to the same territory. We had 64 in Fayetteville today, 67 tomorrow, 65 in Raleigh. It should be an amazing day. Even warmer for the day on Wednesday, 69. That's in the triangle. Our southern counties could easily be in the 70s, 72 Thursday, Friday, Saturday rain, and then cooling down for the weekend and Super Bowl Sunday, looking dry. So if you're having an outdoor party, well, it looks pretty good. It's a little cool, though.
Another winter gift from North Carolina. Thank you, Mike.
Well, so much talk on the Battle of the Blues, but let's talk about the Wolfpack.
Yeah, this is a gift for NC State. They're back in the top 25, but the road just gets tougher from here. The Pack's next mountain to climb. Plus, WRAL's Casey Hintz will show us how Carter Finley Stadium is currently being transformed into the biggest ice rink in North Carolina. Her story is next in sports. All right, there's an argument that this is a few weeks too late, but better late than never, right? NC State is back in the top 25 for the first time since 2019, coming in at number 22. Now, the last time that the Pack were ranked and Duke and North Carolina weren't was 40 years ago, back during the 1982-1983 season. The Pack will immediately put that ranking to the test tomorrow night, taking on number 8 Virginia on the road.
You know, I think when you look at the game tomorrow, you know, against a very good Virginia team on the home floor, there's another quad one opportunity. And so I think anytime you can, throughout the month or prior to, you know, leading up to the Virginia game, you know, you got to look at opportunities now because they are so important.
More Tom Brady news. And no, he hasn't unretired again yet, but we do know that he'll be in the broadcasting booth coming up very soon. Brady announced that he will officially start his color commentary job for Fox in the 2024 season. The seven-time Super Bowl champion has decided to take a year off from football, the first time in 32 years for him. Super Bowl 57 is this Sunday, and you can watch it on Fox 50. Don't miss the Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Philadelphia Eagles from Glendale, Arizona. The game begins at 6:30. Coverage starts at 11:30 a.m. All right, guys, we are just 12 days away from the NHL Stadium Series game at Carter-Finley Stadium. And today was a big day as NHL crews decided to arrive to begin the setup process. Casey Hintz was there and tells us there's a lot of work to be done between now and puck drop.
Chris, it's hard to imagine ice laid down inside Carter-Finley Stadium, but that's exactly what we're going to see unfold here in the next week. And actually, what we learned today is that the crews are going to need all 13 of those days.
So we've probably got like a four-day setup before we'll start making ice. So like really on the 10th, maybe the evening of the 9th or the 10th, we'll start flooding. We'll take about 7 days to do that. So with the game on the 18th, we know teams will be practicing on the 17th, and then that's kind of our first practice day as well to kind of fine-tune things.
Now, NHL venue guru Derek King and his team have had plenty of practice fine-tuning over the years. So surprisingly, weather isn't much of a concern here.
We'll watch the weather. You know, we've had rain in other climates. You know, we're really not going to fight Mother Nature. She's going to dictate what we do throughout this build. So we just have to adapt to what we're going to see.
Now, King said it really starts to get exciting when the boards are up and the ice gets painted. Lines and logos are down. He said that's when it really starts to look like a hockey rink. And Chris, King even said, when that time comes, he'll put me to work. So we'll want to stay tuned for that.
Oh, man, I can't wait to see that. I know Casey will do a great job on ice because that's where she's familiar with and she understands how all that stuff works.
So exciting to see that it's coming together.
Yeah, I'm exactly the opposite, so I need to be nowhere near ice. Thank you, Chris, and thank you for joining us. We're just minutes away from NBC Nightly News. Up next, on the ground in Turkey, with images coming in from the earthquake devastation, the desperate search for people buried alive as buildings continue to fall.
And tonight at 7, a WRAL investigation found Wake County school districts do not track school threats. What else Joe Fisher uncovered at 7?